Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer.
By virtue of House Concurrent Resolution 14, duly adopted, the date of April 27th, 2019, I declare the 2019 regular session of the 88th General Assembly adjourned, sine die.
Okay, there you have it, the close of the 2019 Iowa legislative session. This year, more than 20 freshman lawmakers participated in their first Iowa legislative session. This hour, we have 5 of them to meet from both sides of the aisle. Joining us, State Senators Chris Knoyer, also Senator Marionette Miller-Meeks, Dr. Miller-Meeks, Kerry Kelker, Zach Walls, also both senators, as well as State Representative Jennifer Confirst. Welcome to you all.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to go around the horn quickly for our statewide audience to have you, if I can be so bold as to say, 30 seconds for an introduction, where you're from, and a tiny bit about your background. Can we start with you, Senator Kelker?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having us in here today. I'm from Dyersville, Iowa, and this is my first year as a senator. My past 25 years, lifelong Iowan, has been promoting Iowa as a great place to live, work, and travel and play. 25 years in economic development and promoting our state. I'm executive director for the Eastern Iowa Tourism, and I enjoyed my first year of session. I have 4 children at home, 22, 20, and our set of twins are 15.
Very good. We'll get plenty of reflections this hour as we go on. Senator Chris Knoyer.
I come from just north of LeClaire in rural Scott County. I'm a self-employed website designer. I also have a school board background. I was the president of the Pleasant Valley School Board there. I'm a reserve deputy in the Scott County Sheriff's Office. I have 4 children also. And I really enjoyed my first year transitioning over, especially being part of the education committee. That was really important to me.
Very good. Senator Zach Walls.
Well, good afternoon, Ben.
Good afternoon.
It's great to be with you and your audience. I represent Senate District 37, which includes part of Iowa City, all of Coralville, all of Cedar County to the east, and down Wilton, down in Muscatine County, home of the Candy Kitchen. I had a fantastic first year in the Iowa Senate. Had a lot of fun working with these fine folks and learning a lot. I think is probably the metaphor that we all use is that we're all drinking from a fire hydrant. That's how I felt every single day, and I just really, really grateful for the opportunity to serve people of this district.
Okay, Dr. Marionette Miller-Meeks, a senator from Ottumwa, you're joining us by phone. Introduce yourself quickly, please, Dr. Miller-Meeks.
So I live in Ottumwa, and I represent Senate District 41, which is most of Wapello County, Davis County, Van Buren County, and most of Jefferson County. So I continue to work as a physician. I work in Burlington, although I live in Ottumwa. And my first legislative session, I don't think it was drinking out of fire hose. I think it was going down Niagara Falls in a barrel.
Very good.
However, we were closed.
Okay.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for joining us. In our Des Moines studio, Representative Jennifer Confirst is with us, a Democrat from Windsor Heights. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, everyone. I'm glad to be representing the People's Chamber today over on the House side. I represent House District 43, which is Windsor Heights, Clive, and parts of West Des Moines. And I'm a professor at Drake. I teach journalism and communication there. And I have 2 kids. One is just finished her freshman year of college, and one is finishing up his junior year at Roosevelt High School. So I've been at Drake since 2013. Prior to that, I spent 12 years at Iowa Public Television. And again, I'm glad to represent the House here today.
Okay, very good. Those are our 5 freshman lawmakers. If you'd like to join our conversation, ask a question, make a comment, 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org is our email, 1-866-780-9100. Let's start off, if we could, with some quick takeaways from this session. Let's go right back to you, Representative Confirst. You are in the minority from in the Democrats party, Democratic Party. What made you most happy this session, even though you were in the minority?
Well, I think that sort of some personal and professional things made me happy. One personal was that I got to meet a lot of really great people, both staff and fellow legislators on both sides of the aisle. There are a lot of people up there who really care about what's happening and what we're going to do in our state. And then professionally, I think it was great that we were able to pass the CARE Act, which helps caregivers who are going home from the hospital take care of their loved ones. And then also Logan's Law, which is an organ donation law that helps raise awareness of organ donation. And I'm a recipient of a donor cornea. And so that was particularly meaningful to me. So there were good things that happened and plenty that I didn't love.
Mm-hmm. Senator Miller Meeks, what was the top of your list as far as achievements you were happy about?
Well, I would agree with Representative Confirst on the Late Caregivers Act. I think was very important, and organ donation being in the healthcare arena, and interesting to learn that Representative Confirst had a corneal transplant. But other things I think that were very important that we did, and some things that we need to continue to work on. So I think that education funding. The $90 million new in education, separating out transportation from that, very important in rural areas in my area that the transportation funding will be in a kind of a separate appropriation, separate basket, so that money to education, to teachers will not, you know, transportation won't be negatively impacting that. What we did on pharmacy benefit management bill to try to get transparency and hopefully in concert with what's happening at the federal level, we'll be able to reduce drug prices to individuals. I think those were important legislations. Oral contraceptive bill that we put forward through the Senate unfortunately didn't pass in the House, but I think we need to continue to work on those things. And what I was interested in, and although it didn't pass, but we'll continue to work on that also, was judicial reform and felons' voting rights once they're out of prison and have undergone restitution. So all of those things, it was an interesting process, a very stressful process for me. I don't know about my colleagues, but to me it's a very stressful thing. There are many, many wants, and there are needs, individuals that you're trying to interact with, trying to try to learn the process by itself, but then also learn the legislation that's coming towards you, and having tremendous respect for colleagues on both sides of the aisle. And Senator Zachwal, who happens to be on the phone today, he's much taller than I am, and he was very helpful in cleaning my windshield on one very snowy day. So I'm deeply appreciative that he uses his parking spaces next to mine.
Republican Senator, State Senator Miller Meeks of Ottumwa, let's go to Democratic State Senator Zachwal of Coralville with some of your takeaways.
Yeah.
So it was a snowy day, and you helped out with clearing the windshield?
It was a snowy day, and as Senator Miller Meeks pointed out, I have slightly longer reach than she does, and she and I park next to each other. And
after for our listeners, you're like
6'5".
6'5", okay.
Yeah. And so I helped her. I'm a Boy Scout, you know, so, old habits die hard.
An Eagle Scout, if I remember.
An Eagle Scout, that's right.
Yeah.
Getting to know the people was definitely a pleasure. And as Dr. Miller Meeks said, learning the process, because it is so aggressively deadline driven. You have the first funnel, the second funnel. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as you finally figure it out, committee work, all of a sudden we're doing floor debate, and what the heck is floor debate? So that aggressive kind of timeline does make it, I think, a little tricky for first time lawmakers to just figure out what's happening and what room am I supposed to be in at this moment. But there were a couple of accomplishments that I feel really proud of. One of them was the legalization of industrial hemp. Which I worked on as a member of the Agriculture Committee. I was on the subcommittee that drafted that legislation, and I had the opportunity to work across the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, to get that over the finish line. I think that's going to be really good for soil quality. It's going to be good for water quality. It's going to be good for farm incomes, and it's going to be good for consumers. This is, for your listeners, not anything psychoactive. This is a fiber. It's going to have literally hundreds of different commercial uses, really good for consumers. Second, in my capacity as a member of the Education Transportation Budget Subcommittee. I helped get $500,000 of new money for community colleges to clear out the backlog of adult English as a learning language classes that have piled up all over our state. This is an acute need here in our community. I worked closely with Kirkwood Community College as they talked with me about their needs and what they're seeing in the classrooms. But it's really good for employers because you have a lot of folks who want to learn English and who are going to be very highly skilled as they enter the workforce. We all know that there's a worker shortage right now, so that's a big win. And for immigrant communities, people who want to learn English, who want to be better integrated in their communities, it's really good for them as well. And then finally, there was a bill that we worked on in the final weeks of session. Some of your listeners may know we had a situation with mobile home parks in our state. An out-of-state investment group was jacking up the rent on folks all over the state. We got a bill through the Iowa Senate 48-0 that was the largest expansion of mobile home residence rights in decades. Unfortunately, we didn't make it out of the House, but because we passed it out of the Senate, it is alive to be taken up next year out of the House and hopefully sent down to the governor.
From Senator, State Senator Zach Walls of Coralville, let's go to Senator Carrie Kelker of Dyersville. We want to get to our phones. I'll throw out that phone number because we want to get to those in just a moment. And those of you who are on the phone, please hold on just a moment as we continue our little round robin of initial impressions, takeaways from the 2019 session. 1-866-780-9100. Senator Kelker of Dyersville.
Thank you. People, places, but the policy was the new thing for me this year because I'm always used to promoting people and places of Iowa. So the policy was kind of a little personal and professional adjustment. We work really well across the aisle, and I think sometimes the media adds a different twist to that.
Right.
So that's something that I kind of came out with at the beginning of session as well as the end of session is we really do a lot of work together in a positive manner to make Iowa a bigger and better place. And I sometimes think that people get wrapped up in the negative of it. But there's a lot of positives, I think.
So you went in expecting there to be kind of a barrier. We don't talk to them. And, you know, as Republicans in the majority, we do our thing. And, you know, they're in the minority, so they can sit and watch. It wasn't like that at all.
It wasn't. And to be honest, I didn't go in with those expectations. You know, I've been running meetings for 25 years, and I've never divided people up by eye color, religion, or political party. So we kind of went in with an open mind. And sometimes you had those days that you did. But I always felt like a debate was good because we all had a passion about something we were talking about. Some of the committees, obviously, that I sat on that I focused a lot on was I vice-chaired Commerce this year. Appropriations. Everyone comes in and asks for a lot of money, and you want to be all to all, but you actually can't. So as Zach alluded to and the other elected officials prior to this, we were able to fund and pour some additional money into education. I also worked on the Veterans Affairs Committee, and that's kind of my little fluffy rewarding committee. We were able to pass a few bills in that department that I think will help our veterans across the state so they know that we appreciate them. Labor and business relations, I thought that was going to be more of like a Chamber of Commerce approach, but it's actually talking about minimum wage and some things like that. So a lot of eye-opening things that we worked, I'm looking at Zach and Chris here, that we served on a lot of committees together on, transportation and then education sub. As Zach alluded to, we were able to work really well with the community colleges. I'm a person that really believes that a four-year college degree isn't a perfect fit for everyone. And so I think we were able to really pour a lot of resources into like Future Ready Iowa, community colleges, our four-year wonderful establishments that we have here in Iowa. So there's a lot of things that I think we're walking away proud of that we can really focus on, and we can always make bigger and better next year. A little bit of disappointment. I know we took some good big steps for mental illness and children's mental illness, but I think it's just a baby step. I think we've got a lot more avenues and veins that we need to go down into and really look into and research.
You think your colleagues are on board with that, moving further in that direction?
I do. I think everyone is aware that there's mental illness out there, but children's mental illness needs to be treated a little bit differently. And I think just in the debates that we had on the floor, I think we saw passion and concern from everybody, at least on the Senate side, that we know that there's some movement in the needle that needs to be done there. Medical marijuana, I think a few of us were disappointed in that. I know I specifically was disappointed in that a little bit. And the oral contraceptives, as Dr. Miller Meeks alluded to, that's something that we really fought hard and got it through the Senate. We had to do a lot of discussions. I'm looking at Senator Knoyer, us female women really had to go to the table for that push. But I think we've got some work ahead of us, which, to be honest, makes me excited for next year. We kind of know in there, knowing that submissions that may be faded And kind of we felt fell off this year, that we're going to be able to go back in and aggressively target next year.
Okay, Senator Kelker of Dyersville, let's switch over to Senator Kinoyer of LeClaire, also
sure.
also a Republican. Your quick reflections on the session.
Yeah, well, I spent the last 6 years on the school board, which is a nonpartisan board, so I didn't come in with expectations of being us versus them. I mean, we're all Iowans here trying to do good things and make good policy, but I was vice chair of the Education Committee, which I was excited that we got the SAVE statewide penny extension done this year for school infrastructure, building security. There was some property tax relief built into that bill, as well as some money set aside for regional career academies, which I think is really important, that goes along with the Future Ready Iowa initiative to address our workforce needs. I was also on the Economic Development Budget Subcommittee, and I think that was important. It goes hand in hand along with education, because you can't create a skilled, educated workforce without the funding, and you can't fund it without a growing economy. So it was great being on economic development, just meeting all the people across the state that are doing great things to help grow that economy. The children's mental health, I was glad that we got that framework done, but Senator Kelker's right, we absolutely have more work to do on that, making sure that we have a sustainable funding source there. But healthy children become healthy adults. So, you know, I think that if we can get to solve some of those issues earlier and address issues earlier, I think that it'll help us long term. In terms of And I was also glad that we funded the community colleges. I think we're finding the community colleges are very agile in terms of working with those business education partnerships and meeting the needs of our immediate workforce issues. Also, the Empower Rural Iowa got passed this year. That addresses rural broadband across the state, housing shortages that we have, as well as strategic leadership and best practices that can be shared in those rural communities. And in terms of unfinished business, I was disappointed the animal abuse bill didn't get done this year. I think that we're really close, and we can get some work done in the interim to get that solved next year. And then something that came up late in the session was the changing the vaping and tobacco age from 18 to 21. So I have a feeling that's going to be something that's going to come up as it's starting to gain some momentum across the country and is even being addressed at the federal level right now.
Five of the more than 20 freshman lawmakers in the Iowa legislature this year joining us this hour. If you'd like to join our conversation with a question, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to Brandon calling from Urbandale. Brandon, welcome to the program. What question do you have for a lawmakers or all of our lawmakers collectively, perhaps a question?
Hi, Ben. Thanks for taking my call. My question is with respect to climate change. I'm sure that all of our lawmakers are well aware that, you know, over the past, you know, spring or couple of months, we've been seeing historic levels of flooding across western Iowa or across, you know, the Mississippi. Like Davenport is a good specific example where we're seeing levels of flooding up above the 93 flood. But at the state house, I haven't really observed much conversation or much movement having to do with what the state can do with regard to taking action on climate change, reducing carbon emissions, increasing energy efficiency or renewable energy. And I just wanted to ask what our representatives and our senators, you know, whether or not we're going to see more movement on that front in our next session.
Okay, Brandon in Urbandale, thank you very much. Who wants to jump in there?
Well,
Zach Walls, Senator Walls.
Brandon, thanks for the question. I think it's important to note that Iowa is, in fact, doing some really incredible work when it comes to renewable energy as it is. Iowa, in fact, something like 40% of the electricity generated in our state comes from renewable sources, primarily wind. And we actually have historically been a leader in energy efficiency programs as well, although that did change last year with some changes to how energy efficiency is funded. And that was a kind of a partisan disagreement on how those should be funded. But historically, Iowa's really been a leader when it comes to renewable energy. The very first bill I filed actually would have instructed the Iowa Department of Energy to get us moving even towards more renewable energy. I was hoping to get a strategic plan developed that would have put us on the fast track to 80% renewable energy by 2030 and 100% by 2050. That didn't pass, but you know, I'm hopeful. And the reality is that Iowa's taken a lot of good steps, although there's certainly a lot more that we could do. And I would really hope that folks who are talking about a Green New Deal at the federal level would come take a look at Iowa and see what we're doing here and why it's working.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wanted to see how, to what degree, we, of course, watch the debate in Washington, the divide there, often a partisan divide over the degree to which climate change is real, the degree to which humans are causing it, and what we should be doing about it. I wonder, Senator Kelker, does that exist on a state level? Do you, for instance, believe in climate change, that humans are causing it and we need to do something?
Well, obviously, we have a large issue, and we've seen it firsthand. I mean, Western Iowa was hit really hard this year. And what I really appreciated is the University of Iowa came in their flood center, and they educated us on, you know, the dynamics and the tools that they have to assist us to help us learn this at the level of extension that they have. And so I think that that's something that we just need to continue education and conversations on.
Do you feel that there's a divide among the parties as there is at the federal level? Senator Kinoyer, do you think you're, regardless of a party, you're down with the science of climate change?
I think that we've seen across the state, on both sides, in the Missouri River and the Mississippi River, with the flooding issues that we've had. I mean, Davenport got hit really hard, and our eastern Iowa counties got hit really hard. And I think that what we really have to do is continue to work as states. We can't solve this alone in Iowa. We have to work with the other states along those rivers. We have to work with the Army Corps of Engineers to make sure that we are being very proactive with flood mitigation. And I think the governor's done a really good job reaching out to the states that are up and down those rivers, so that we're not just, you know, creating another problem downstream for other states, and making sure that we're being more proactive, making flood mitigation a top priority at the federal level.
Mm-hmm. Representative Confirst in our Des Moines studio, any words to climate change, our caller?
Yeah, I think that one of the frustrations for me this session was that there were a lot of things that I know several of my colleagues and I introduced as legislation, or things that we wanted to do to address climate change and to address water quality and things like that, that weren't given a hearing. And so that was frustrating on our end. But some of the work that we were able to do, I feel like, was stopping some things I think that would have been damaging to our environment, including, you know, the idea of allowing, you know, reducing the number of public lands in the state and a solar, you know, the solar bill that would have taken money incentives away from people who wanted to have solar energy in their homes. So I feel like, you know, that's not the direction I want to be going. I don't want to be stopping things. I want to be moving forward to try to fix things. But, you know, that's how the session went for us. And I'm hopeful that next year, you know, I'm grateful to hear bipartisan support for addressing these issues. And I'm hopeful that we can make some real progress next year.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Miller-Meeks, Senator Meeks, Miller-Meeks. Did you have a few words before we go to break on climate change? Okay. She's been disconnected. A little bit of a difficulty there. We'll have her certainly back on in the second half hour. I caught a little bit of the chatter before we go to break. Share with me, what does it take to recover from a session when you're not used to it? Are you? I mean, we're a month out. Are you still recovering?
I am still recovering.
What are you recovering from?
You know, it's just a personal and professional adjustment. You know, you go down there and you're adjusting your schedule, and you've got a backlog of things back home and at work, and we all have careers, you know, that we're going to try to get settled back into. But we've also got a new way of life of our obligations as elected officials.
Okay, very good. We'll go away for a few minutes and come back with our freshman lawmakers, five of them from both sides of the aisle. You just heard Senator Kerry Kelker of Dyersville. We also have Senator Zach Walls of Coralville, Senator Marionette Miller-Meeks of Ottumwa joining us by phone, Representative Jennifer Confirst of Windsor Heights, and Senator Chris Kinoyer of LeClaire. If you'd like to join our conversation with a question for any of them, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. 9100, the 2019 legislative session through freshman lawmaker eyes continues. I'm Ben Kiefer, back in just a moment.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with six race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer with five freshman lawmakers at the Iowa legislature with us this hour, giving us some reflections on the session. They're very first that they've experienced, and we'll talk undoubtedly about the next session coming up as well and what they have in store for that session. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. We have with us Senators Chris Conoyer, Marionette Miller-Meeks, Carrie Kelker, and Senator Zach Walls, also Representative Jennifer Confirst. 1-866-780-9100. You are all new to the legislature as freshman lawmakers. Who wants to talk a little bit about the transition from campaign mode to lawmaking mode? Former governor of New York, Mario Cuomo's quote, "You campaign in poetry, you govern in prose." Senator Conoyer, would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I kind of liken it to getting engaged and planning a wedding and then actually being married.
Okay.
So you put a lot of effort, a lot of people put a lot of effort into that wedding planning, and if they would put that much effort into their marriage, there'd probably be more successful marriages out there. But last year, you know, I knocked on about 11,000 doors and lost 21 pounds and talked to a lot of people about a lot of different things, and it's a lot of work. And, you know, I think, you know, when you have to work that hard to get there, you're going to work hard once you get there. And it was definitely a transition, because it's just a different type of hard work. It's long days. It's a lot of waiting. It's, you know, hurry up and wait, like we mentioned, and talking to a lot of different people that come to the Capitol to visit. And, you know, it really is quite gratifying to be able to meet all those different types of people with their different passions and what they're supporting. But it's definitely a change from all the pancake breakfasts and catfish dinners that I attended.
Yes. Senator Marionette Miller-Meeks, you have a little bit different perspective coming to become a lawmaker. You're a veteran, an ophthalmologist, a doctor, also former director of the Iowa Department of Public Health. What was that transition like for you?
I would agree with the, you know, other reflections. I think it's a very difficult process, and you have to remember that campaigning is one thing. Number one, you're talking in very brief segments. You're not talking in-depth policy. And then you actually learn a lot. It's not just learning the process of how bills are made and fashioned. And you get a little flavor of that when you're the director of a department, but you're advocating for your department and those issues important to your department and looking both at the federal and national level. On a state level, it's very different. So you're learning from other senators, other representatives. You're learning from individuals who come to meet with you. You're sharing in their tragedies. We had the family come to us from Western Iowa who had lost their family members in Mexico due to carbon monoxide poisoning. So, and then, you know, recently with the floods. So you share in their tragedy, you're empathetic to them, and then you try from there to craft good policy. It's interesting listening to the other senators talk about the policies that we did, because you actually forget some great work that you did. And as they're talking, I'm nodding my head in agreement. And I would agree that I chair a committee, and that is a whole nother process. Had I known how difficult it was, I may not have accepted so readily. But
Senator Miller-Meeks, tell us in shorthand what makes it so difficult
to chair a committee.
Yes.
Number one, just the process of doing it. You know, there's just like being a doctor or being a healthcare provider. It has its own language. It has its own, its own staccato rhythm. It has, it's a process. What you do, what you say, how you say it, who you recognize, and you're trying to remember all of that at the same time as you're trying to listen. When is the subcommittee? When is it in order? When is it not out of order? How to be respectful to people that are there? And then somehow you're supposed to remember that this is being video recorded and that there's news people and media there. So, which you totally forget about. And then you say something like, I rise to this bill and I'm at the same level as Senator Walls, who's two tiers down, because you forget that there are cameras there. So I just thought the whole process, and in some ways, I think of the person who I replaced came in the minority, and maybe there's advantages to being in the minority when you start, because you're expected to govern when you're in the majority. And that means that, you know, people that support you and your party and, people that have similar philosophies want you to govern in a certain way or pass legislation in a certain way. But you're really trying to do what's best for the state as a whole.
And that means that you do compromise, you do listen, you do learn. So the entire process is a constant learning process to me. And that's why I said it's going down Niagara Falls in a barrel.
Yeah. Senator Walz wants to jump in on this point.
Yeah, I would underscore what Senator Miller Meeks just said. I think it really, the biggest transition when you're campaigning, you're out there making the case for yourself, for your policies. You're doing a lot of talking, frankly. And if you're good, you know, you're listening to people too while you're out door knocking and all of that. But you're selling yourself. Once you get out to the Capitol, you're listening to everybody, especially as a freshman. Yeah. You're trying to figure out how this place works. You know, you got two ears, one mouth. Use them in that proportion. And so I think that was definitely a really important big change. And the second thing is that, you know, when you're the candidate, you got a lot of people giving you advice. But at the end of the day, it's your call what you do, right? Mm. Do you approve the ad? You know, what's going to be in the stump speech? But when you are in the legislature, it is a huge group project. You are not the most important person. You have people in your own caucus. You have staff members. You have lobbyists. You have constituents who you are talking with on a daily basis, people you're working with all the time, and you can't do anything alone. And so that change, at least for me, was very noticeable of how much this is really a group effort and we're all working together, and how much time you spend listening to other people is really important.
Let me go to Representative Jennifer Kahn first, the Democrat from Windsor Heights in our Des Moines studio. I wanted to ask you, since we have, we have four out of five lawmakers here today, women, after major gains in the last election, now 34 women serving in the Iowa House, 11 in the Senate. 30% of the lawmakers in the State House are women. To you first, Representative Kahn first, how does it feel to be part of this trend toward more women in our Iowa politics?
Well, I mean, of course, I think it's about time, but I think that, you know, it's nice to be part of the first ever majority female caucus. The Democratic caucus in the Iowa House is more women than men. And, you know, that certainly is a proud accomplishment. I think that, you know, as we look around the room, we see that there are a lot of different perspectives brought to the table that some of them have to do with just our life experiences as women, as moms, as working moms, as people who have actually had babies or, you know, dealt with the issues that we're talking about on the floor. It's not theoretical to us. They're issues that we've really dealt with.
And so does that have a real impact in shaping the legislation, do you think?
I think it does. I think that there are a few times when some folks who have been there a while have turned and looked at, because there are several freshman women from Polk County, and they've turned to look at us like, what do you guys think? And we've kind of laughed like, well, I mean, you know, if you want to hear, here we go. We're happy to talk about it. But, you know, because we do bring that sort of mom perspective that I do believe is different. So does it affect policy? Sure, it does. Because instead of just, like I said, being theoretical, we can say, no, you have to understand this is what it's really like. Mm. And we want to bring that to the table.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Any other words on that?
Well, sure. I mean, I think having, you know, a voice for women in the caucus, I think, was really valuable when we were talking about the over-the-counter birth control. I mean, the conversations that we were having and just answering questions and just being able to share our experience of what that's like and raising a family. And then, you know, I live 2.5 hours from Des Moines, so having to get up every Monday and leave my two boys, my twin boys that are 12, with dad to deal with all the late starts and early outs and all that stuff. So, you know, dealing with that and managing what's happening at home while still being able to perform at the State House, I think as more women see that we can do that and we can do it successfully without hurting our family, I think we'll have more women starting to step up, especially those that don't necessarily go home every night in Des Moines. But boy, the over-the-counter and just having Dr. Marionette Miller Meeks, you know, with her medical background in the Senate has been so valuable, and we have a retired pharmacist there as well. But, you know, when we got up and we spoke about why over-the-counter birth control is important to women, and I think they listened to us, and it ended up passing out of the Senate 42-6. And I think that Senator Kelker and Senator Miller Meeks and I definitely made an impact in our Republican caucus in the Senate for sure to get that through as successfully as we did.
Senator Chris Conoyer there, a Republican of LeClaire, about 2 hours away from the legislature, right? Every day?
No, not every day.
Okay,
no.
Every week. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we gavel in at 1 o'clock on Monday, so I would take my boys to orchestra, and then we'd be back by Thursday evening, weather permitting, of course.
We have about 10 minutes left with our freshman lawmakers this hour from both sides of the aisle, 1-866-780-9100. I want to I want to ask a little bit about managing your time and specifically keeping in contact the work that it is, keeping in contact with constituents in 2019. We have all this social media. I have a job where I get loads of emails and social media. What is that like as a lawmaker? How is that? Who wants to tackle that? Just give us an idea of how you manage all of the input that you are getting from constituents and making sure your constituents feel like you are in touch with the district.
Can I butt in there? This is Jennifer Confers.
Yeah, Representative Confers, go ahead.
As it's interesting because there is a perspective of being from Des Moines. We get a lot of email, of course, all the time. It's a really effective way to contact us. I like emails that are more personalized, that come from a person rather than clicking a button and saying you care about an issue. But, you know, we certainly count them and respond to them and do as well as we can. But what I think is funny is that while everyone else, a lot of people come in from out of town, and so they're here in the week, and then they go home on the weekend and hear it. I'm stopping at the grocery store on a Tuesday night on my way home at 8 o'clock, and I'm hearing from somebody who's mad about a bill that we just debated that day. So it's like real time feedback that I'm getting from people, and it is a different perspective. But I think that the important part is that it can feel like a bubble up there, and so those emails, the people who come to the Capitol to talk with us, the phone calls that we get, they're really important ways for us to keep our finger on the pulse of what's happening. It is a little easier for me because I can, go to a town hall at night during the week, or go to the grocery store. But it is really important that we hear from them because it can be pretty easy, I think, for folks to get sort of absorbed in that bubble.
Mm-hmm. Keeping in touch with constituents in 2019. Who else wants to jump in with that? Senator Kelker?
Sure. I'll add a few comments here. Well, my district's very rural. It's 42 communities. So when you're back home on the weekends from session, you've got three counties that you're trying to cover, and you've got forums. And, you can't be at everything just due to the distance of that. And that was kind of something that I struggled with, because I want to be at everything, but you actually can't. You have to focus on your district. I think it's kind of a balance. You have to adjust your personal life and professional life. Many of us have careers that we also work full time in. So you're never really off duty. You're answering emails when it's convenient for you with your job or your task, or you're answering questions in the aisle of a grocery store.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good thing, though, to deal with our people. And that's what we're elected to do. So we welcome those comments.
Let's go quickly.
Yeah, I'll jump in there, too, with Senator Kelker and Representative Confers. That probably, to me, was the most difficult thing, because you're constantly on, if you will. Mm. You're answering emails. You're, attending subcommittees, committees. You're taking phone calls. You're getting phone calls. Then you have lobbyists. And then you have your forms when you get back home, and you walk around, and people that know you or realize that you're their senator. Sometimes they don't, sometimes they do. And then you're just out at it. I go to church, and I know that after church or yesterday at a Memorial Day thing, you're getting asked questions about a certain bill or something that didn't pass or something that did pass. And so it's constant. It's an unending process, and it's hard to keep up with all that. I have a new clerk. Once you get your clerk trained, they can help you with some of that. But otherwise, it is a very challenging process to keep up with all of that. And then it doesn't end when session ends.
Okay, in the less than 10 minutes that we have, let's go quickly to our phones. I'll ask our callers to be brief. And also, whoever wants, we're not going to have everybody answer each question, but whoever wants to answer the question, please be brief so we can get through as many callers as possible. Bill is with us in from Sac City. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the program. We have just a few minutes left. What's on your mind?
Okay, thanks, Ben. I'm on the City Council and Budget Committee in Sac City. And our council and mayor, we watch our budget and tax increases very carefully. We currently publish our intentions for tax increases and have the public hearing on the budget and tax increases. And officials from other cities that I know do the same. And I think and believe that local control is an important practice in the state. My question is, why did the state see a need to impose further restrictions on how cities and counties run their governments with the new property tax law the governor just signed?
Okay, Bill, thank you. From Sac City, which of our lawmakers would like to jump in there? Okay, Senator Kinnoyer, please.
Yeah, so as a former school board member, I completely am very much in support of local control. And the issue that we were having, for example, in Pleasant Valley, The city of Bettendorf raised their assessments a couple of years ago, some in, 20% in some cases, and we were able to lower our school board levy by 41 cents because of that. And so I think one of the issues that drove this legislation was the fact that as assessments are going up, those levies aren't being adjusted. But so the way this bill started in the House, and there was a separate version in the Senate, and the way it ended up, we removed the caps and just said if your budget's going to increase by more than 2%, you have to have a public hearing and then a supermajority. So in a lot of cases where there's only three-person boards, this won't affect them at all. And unfortunately, there's areas where there are bad actors make this kind of bill possible, but there's a lot of good, responsible governments out there that this should not impact.
Okay. Let's go to Larry in Agency. Larry, not much time. What's your question or comment?
I'd just like to, I'm in Agency. Dr. Miller Meeks represents our area. I know she worked in Iowa City. I know she also lives in Southeast Iowa and Burlington, and then has forced to move to Des Moines. How does she handle all the diversity, all the differences? Because I know Iowa City is kind of its own little country on its own. Des Moines is kind of its own little thing. And then all the rest of us are out here in flyover country. So how does she handle all that?
Okay, Dr. Miller Meeks.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Floyd. I actually love Agency and rue the day that I love Highway 34 and the four lane, but I miss going through Agency and I miss the Agency Deli. But I think what we remember is that we're there to represent all Iowans. And so what was just brought up was about the property tax bill. And if we believe in local control, which we do, then why would we have imposed further restrictions on cities and counties? And I appreciate the comment from Sac City. And the reason is because that's probably the number one thing that we get asked about all the time is property taxes. And what are we going to do about property taxes? And what's the role for the state government in property taxes and in local regulation? So when you're in a rural area, you have cities and counties that do the right thing, but you have others that don't do the right thing. So you try to put all those perspectives in together. You talk to other senators, you talk with people within your district, you get input as much as you can, and then you try to do what's going to be the best thing for everyone, not just, for one individual thing or, what may be your personal opinion. So my personal opinion may be that my property taxes are too high or my property taxes are too low or we have too much spending on this issue or not enough spending on that issue. And then you go forward. One of the things I'd like to see us do next year is to put more money into funding for trails. I'm going to work on that with committees. I'm not on the committee that does that, but I love the trail system that's in Ottumwa and Fairfield and connecting those systems. It's a quality of life issue. So I think I love living in rural Iowa and Southeast Iowa, and I'd like to see us attract more people to live here.
Okay, we have about 2 to 3 minutes left. Let's very quickly go around to all of our guests and have a quick word to what the next session has in store, your hopes or personally or what you hope collectively for the session. Let's start off with Senator Kelker of Dyersville.
Well, I think we'll all probably agree that we'll go in with a different lens cap view because we have that first year under our belt, which really, truly was a big adjustment. But there's no training, and it is Niagara Falls. But I think we all adapted well. I mean, we're all still smiling. We're great. We're happy to see each other here today. And so I'm looking forward to just continuing the momentum. And we've got a great group of constituents on both sides of the aisle that I think we are truly concerned about Iowa, and we want to make sure that it's going to be there for the future for our children and investing in education. Okay. The workforce, I think we've got some big fronts on that.
Okay, Representative Conforce, Democrat of Windsor Heights.
I'm looking forward to seeing if we can't get more done. It's one of those, the first year almost felt like I had to learn how to do everything, and now I'm ready, and I've got bills I want to introduce, and I've got all this stuff ready to go. So I'm hoping to use Senator Kelker's phrase, more momentum.
Mm. Senator Knoyer of LeClaire.
Yeah, this summer I know they're taking a hard look at tax credits, which ones are working, which ones are not working. So I think that we're going to probably be readdressing and readjusting those that are working, the historic tax credits, the rural housing tax credits, the military housing tax credits. So I'm going to look forward to see what that interim committee comes up with and doing some restructuring to make sure our tax reform, our tax credit bills are working the way they should be.
Senator Miller Meeks, I can only give you 30 seconds. Please go ahead.
I'm looking forward to working with my fellow senators on both sides now.
Okay. Okay. Then we cede the rest of the time to Zach Walls.
All right.
Because
well,
you didn't use your 30 seconds.
I'm really hopeful that we'll be able to get the mobile home protections bill across the finish line in the House. That was something that we worked on really hard in the Senate, bipartisan 48-0 vote. So I hope we can get it across in the House. The animal welfare bill that Senator Knoyer mentioned earlier is something that I'm really passionate about. That did not come up for a vote in the Senate, so I'm hoping that changes next year. And I do think that we are close to getting that ready to go. Making sure that we fully fund the children's mental health system. I serve on the Iowa Mental Health Planning and Advisory Council, and I'm already hearing from folks that until we get funding, implementing and standing up these new programs is going to be really difficult, if not impossible. So that's something that's really important. And then finally, I would say continuing to work on some of these changes in our healthcare system. We hear about the cost of premiums a lot. Making sure that we've got strong pre-existing conditions protections, all that's really important.
Okay. Anybody want to offer what you're doing out of session now that you really enjoy, that you yearned to do? Senator Kelker, you have a big smile on your face. It looks like you wanted to get back to what?
Well, we're still adjusting, so getting back to whatever our new schedule is. But no, I'm enjoying being out and back in the community and back
in
home.
In Dyersville.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much, all of you, for joining us. Senators Carrie Kelker, Zach Walls, Senator Marionette Miller-Meeks, and Chris Knoyer, also Representative Jennifer Confirst. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been enlightening to give us kind of a behind-the-curtain view of what it's like to be a freshman lawmaker. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury and Caitlin Harrop. Also help today from Camus Leeson. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Join us for Politics Wednesday. Yes, it's already Wednesday. We had the holiday on Monday. Please join us tomorrow for Politics Wednesday. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.